This is the Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
Welcome to Grace Thoughts, the radio ministry of Greater Grace Church, located here in beautiful Green Acres, Florida. We're a local family-oriented church that places a great emphasis on teaching the Word of God without today's current trends and compromises. Our church meets every Sunday at the Green Acres Community Center, located at 501 Swain Boulevard at the intersection of 10th Avenue North. Worship begins at 10:30 a.m. Stay tuned now as we go to today's message being taught by our pastor and Bible teacher, Dan Foster.
We got verse 37, Jerusalem. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem. This was the lamentation of Jesus as he looked down from the hillside over Jerusalem. And as he looked, he was nearing, of course, he was nearing his crucifixion, and he looked upon the city and regions beyond. And as he sat there, he cried out, "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the one who kills the prophets and stones those who were sent to her. How often I wanted to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing." And so as he looks, he sees Jerusalem, and Jerusalem is, of course, more than Jerusalem, but Jerusalem is Israel, who had rejected God many times throughout the years, throughout the centuries, and turned to idolatry many times, and dishonored the prophets that God sent to them many times by ignoring them, by rejecting them, by even killing them, as it says here. Someone like Isaiah, who was sawed in two, and others who were put to death by religious people. Outwardly, they were religious. Inwardly, they were corrupt. They really didn't want to hear the word of God. They didn't want to hear the truth. Verse 25 in this chapter, Jesus says that they clean the outside of the cup while the inside is filthy. And the reason they cleaned up the outside is to be receive the praises of men. They like to be admired by people. So they'd clean up the outside and look very pious and wear robes and carry things that were of religious value and so forth. And people would look upon them with some kind of awe that these were holy men. But they were outwardly clean, but they were inwardly corrupt. Yet even though the corruption was repetitive throughout Israel's history, God continued to love them. Jesus continued to love them throughout the centuries. His love never quit on them. They rejected him. They ignored him. They killed the prophets. They disobeyed. They lived in corruption. They used their religious offices to gain power and wealth. They turned the temple into a den of thieves, as he said in one place. But God continued to love them. Jesus continued to love them. There was nothing special about them. God's love comes from himself. God doesn't need you to be lovable to love you. God's love is in himself. And God chooses who he will love. And God has chosen to love you, to love me, to love Israel. His love is within himself. It does not depend upon the object to be lovable or to be worthy of being loved or to live up to any special standards. In fact, in Deuteronomy 7, in verse 7, he tells Israel, he says, the Lord did not, as Moses speaking here, the Lord did not set his love upon you or chose you because you were more in number than any other people. He didn't choose you because you were a mighty nation. He didn't choose you because you were an advanced culture. He didn't choose you because you were more civilized than other nations. He didn't choose you for any of those reasons. He chose you, it says in this verse, you were the least of all people. You were the weakest of all people. You were the most undeserving of all people. But God decided, he chose you and decided, I will love you. You will be my chosen people. For no other reason than I choose it within myself to do that. That's the argument up in Romans. You know, Romans 9, 10, and 11. Everybody likes to argue about those chapters, about predestination and everything. The whole argument in those chapters is God's choice of the Jewish people. It has nothing to do with heaven or hell. It has God's choice of the Jewish people. He chose them to be his client nation. And why did he do it? Because they were a great nation, because they were mighty in number, because they were civilized, because they were the most educated? No, because they were the least. Because they were the least. And he said, this will be my man, Abraham, and these will be my people. And I will set my love upon them, and I will not remove that love from them, even through all the times they will be unworthy of it. All the times they'll be undeserving of it. All the times they will reject my love, I will still love them. The reason God loves us is because God is love. It is his nature to do so. 1 John 4, 7 and 8, God is love. It is his nature to love. And he has created us as the objects of his love. Jeremiah 31, 3, you know that verse. The Lord has appeared of old, saying, yes, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Everlasting means that it doesn't quit. Everlasting means it can't. There is no end to it. It's unconditional. There is no condition that you could possibly enter into where God would say, that's it, I don't love them anymore. Because the love is everlasting. He said from old, from the very beginning, and he's talking about Israel, but he's also talking about us. We are inclusive in this, that he loves us with an unconditional, everlasting love. And even on the worst day of your life, God still loves you with a great intensity. And he never quits. And he says in this latter part of 31:3, therefore I'm going to use loving kindness to draw you. Loving kindness is just the application of grace. Grace is God's loving kindness in action. So with grace, with loving kindness, I'm going to draw you to myself. I'm not going to force you to come to me. I'm not going to make you come. I'm not going to manipulate your will. I'm not going to threaten you to come. I'm going to simply draw you with loving kindness to me because I love you with an unconditional, everlasting love. It's an immutable love. It never changes. And Jesus had the same love for his people, Israel. He had the same love for his disciples. Even Judas, we're told in John chapter 13, verse 1, Judas, who he knew was going to sell him out for 30 pieces of silver. He knew Judas was going to betray him. He knew Judas was going to commit suicide. But the Bible says Jesus loved him right to the end. Never quit on Judas. And he knew what he was going to do to him. He didn't get defensive, didn't get insecure with Judas, didn't treat him different than the other 11 disciples. In fact, when he was sitting at the Last Supper, who was the first person he handed the bread to? Judas. He favored him. He didn't isolate him. He didn't talk to the other guys about him. You know what he's going to do? He didn't try to make him feel unwanted or isolated. He loved him to the end, knowing what he was going to do. Because he has an unconditional, everlasting love for those he sets his love upon. And Judas was one of it. When you set your love upon something, you put value to the thing that you set your love upon. I know we know Shirley's leaving. She's not here this morning, but she's moving back up north, and her daughter's with her, and they're cleaning out the house. And the daughter wants to throw everything out, and Shirley sees things that have value to her because she loves them, because there's things that have been in her life for many, many years, things that Hank owned and things, her husband and so forth. And so they have value to her where they don't have value to somebody who's cleaning up the house. because the thing that you love is the thing that you value. The more you love something, the more you value it. To somebody else, it could be a piece of junk. But to you, it's precious because you have value. You have love in it. You really appreciate it. And so there is value in that thing to you. You know, one man's treasure is another man's, what, trash or something. But it depends if you love it. If you love it, it has value. God loves us so much with such intensity that the value of just one of you, just one of you this morning, is worth more than the whole world. That's Mark 8:36. He says, what are you going to give in exchange for your soul? Your soul is worth more than the whole world. And that's a lot of money. That's a lot of power. That's a lot of property. You get the whole world. But one soul, you, more important than the whole world. Because God's love has increased your value to such a degree that the world pales in comparison. God makes his love known to us and makes his love known to the whole world through the sacrifice of Christ. God's great show of love was the sacrifice of Christ. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. That was God's great demonstration of his love for people. He gave Jesus. In 1 John 4:9, in this the love of God was manifested, which means to be made known. In this the love of God was made known towards us. God sent his only begotten Son. God demonstrated, he made known, he manifested his love for you and for me through the sacrifice of Christ. That was his show of love. When the gospel is preached, when you preach the gospel, when you go out on outreach and you knock on doors or you witness it on the job or you share with a friend or family member or somebody you met at the supermarket or wherever, whenever you share the gospel, You are preaching the love of God to them. You are telling them that God is love because he sent Christ to die for you personally. That you don't have to go to hell. You don't have to spend an eternity there because Jesus Christ has rescued you from that. He's taken your sins upon himself. He suffered and died for you so you would not have to die and be separated from God for eternity. You would go to heaven. And that is God's great demonstration of love. By this we know love, 1 John 3:16. By this we know love, because he sent down his Son. He laid down his life. That's how we know love, through the sacrifice of Christ. It is the once and for all, Hebrews 10:10, the once and for all sacrifice, the love of God, demonstrated through the sacrifice of Christ. You know, God never answers another one of your prayers. That's enough to demonstrate his love.
Thank you for listening to Grace Thoughts, the radio ministry of Greater Grace Church, located in Green Acres, Florida. Grace Thoughts can be heard daily at 12 p.m. on this same station. For complete messages and information about our ministry, you can visit us on the web at greatergracechurch.net. Again, that's greatergracechurch.net. Donations can be made directly through the website or mail us at Grace Thoughts, P.O. Box 540993, Green Acres, Florida, 33454. That's P.O. Box 540993, Green Acres, Florida, 33454. We hope you've enjoyed today's program and will tune in to us next time as we consider together God's heart toward us in Grace Thoughts.